What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're heading into the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. A perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious, Baldy. Thank you, as always, for joining us. So let's start. It's a two-parter for you, Baldy. Like, what you saw Saturday night, the way the Ravens were able to bully the Pittsburgh Steelers running the football, and do you expect them to do more of the same this Sunday in Buffalo?
Well, they did it to Buffalo the first time around back in week 4, started the first play of the game when King Henry went 87 yards untouched for a touchdown. But, you know, it's just remarkable what they did to Pittsburgh on Saturday night. I mean, Pittsburgh had played them 3 times in 8 weeks, and they and Pittsburgh had no answer for how to really stop the combination of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. And I think Buffalo's going to have similar problems. I mean, if you allow these guys to get north-south, either one of them, the way Henry did on his 44-yard touchdown run to blow that game open, if you allow Lamar to do that same type thing, they're going to cut you up real fast. You've got to be able to flatten them to the sidelines and use the sideline and your speed to your advantage. If you allow them to turn up, they're going to put up big numbers in the run game.
Baldy, it's been kind of wild watching this thing evolve, right? The first couple of weeks, they're trying to figure out if Derrick Henry can get into the pistol with them, and it doesn't look great. So then they're like, screw it, we'll just do it his way from Tennessee, and we'll run him under center 60-some percent of the time with the fullback and I formations, and they destroyed teams like that for a while. And then they got to the bye week, and they got Charlie Kohler back. And it's like, well, let's see what it looks like running out of the pistol more now, and nobody can stop that. Baldy, and then 13 times against Houston and 15 times against Pittsburgh, they decide, what would this look like with a sixth offensive lineman in the mix as well? Like, have you seen a jumbo package before with three tackles, a 265-pound blocking tight end, a 300-pound fullback, and a 250-pound first-ballot Hall of Fame running back?
No, I haven't seen that. to go with all of that, Jason, I mean, you're seeing, you know, Roger Rosengarten really grow up, and Falele, who was struggling early. I mean, they really solidified the offensive line. That took a little while. We knew that to replace three starters from a year ago. That doesn't happen right away. They got to learn continuity and how to play together and, you know, how to handle their combo blocks and whatnot. So it's all come together. It's taken, you know, basically 18 games for it to be formulated like this, but they kind of know who their identity is. And those are all the things that you just described, some of the machinations and the changes. And that's what coaching is about, finding out what we got, what works best, what we're good at. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen, you know, the first week of the season, but they look like they know who they are right now.
So, Baldy, let's assume that Derrick Henry doesn't take it 90 yards on the first play this time, and they don't get up big early this time. Like, what's the scenario? Like, I guess Josh Allen's the better quarterback if we come away Sunday night and the Bills win this game. He outplays Lamar Jackson. Is that how that goes?
Well, I mean, we put a lot on the quarterbacks because they're two leading MVP candidates. So there probably is the way one way that you're going to describe it. Somebody is going to be very, very disappointed. And both teams have had tremendous disappointments in the playoffs. So one of them is going to finish disappointed. He might play great, but they might lose other ways. I mean, it's not just a quarterback. So, but that's how it's going to get painted. That's going to be how it's going to be described, is one quarterback is just continues to fall short in the playoffs. And that's unfortunate, but it is the agony and the ecstasy, and it might play out that way come Sunday night.
The Bills can't just live in nickel and dime again, right? Like, and it's not like they've got a 380-pound two-gapper who they can, you know, call up from the practice squad. So I know that there's going to be personnel issues either way. But if this is all about getting their fastest, quickest linebackers and their slot guy on the field, Baldy, I just don't know how that holds up from a size standpoint.
Well, the size, it won't hold up, Jason. But what can happen, and what we have seen in parts this year and in past years, is you can't let Derrick Henry get started. And so that might just be speed to the hole, mm-hmm. like penetration behind the line of scrimmage where you got to make him stop his feet. Like, it can be that. Now, it's difficult just to sell out, stop Derrick Henry. We saw that from T.J. Watt the other night, tackling him repeatedly, and Lamar was going the other direction, mm-hmm. and they didn't have an answer for that. So I think they're going to see how Buffalo decides to play it, whether they're going to really crash these linebackers and, you know, Taron Johnson and try to get penetration to get them slowed up and not let them get started. And if that's the case, they might be very vulnerable in the passing game. But you've got a full quarter and a half to try to figure out what's going to work in this game. I don't think they have to come out right away mm-hmm. and figure out Buffalo. Sometimes these are little boxing matches, and you got to feel each other out in that first quarter. And as long as the game doesn't get away from either team, that's probably how it's going to get played.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Baldy, let's go to the other AFC game. Patrick Mahomes has never lost in the divisional round. Do you give the Texans a chance in this football game?
I give them a chance just because it's playoff football and Kansas City's basically been off for, you know, maybe 3 weeks considering how they rested their guys at the end. So that's a drought. You don't know how somebody's going to, like, you know, start this game. But they were in that game throughout the last time. They got to C.J. Stroud in week 16. They got two interceptions on him, and they harassed them all the way to the end when it was just a 27-19 game, and they had a chance still to make it. It was still a one-possession game with 4 minutes to go. You know, and they corner cat blitzed them and blitz-zeroed them, and Spags did his thing. And so I give them a chance. They just can't afford to turn the ball over like they did a month ago. And if they don't do that, they've got enough playmakers on both sides of the ball to keep this thing competitive.
A year ago at this time, we're looking at the Chiefs and we're saying, boy, they're running the heck out of the football, and Andy Reid is really being balanced, and the defense is leading them. And I think some of that stuff still applies, but am I crazy to be a little kind of wondering about their run game? Like, Pacheco hasn't really looked to me like Pacheco since he's come back, and I think they had to lean on Kareem Hunt more than they probably would have thought about when they initially signed him. And I'm not saying he's still not a competent back, but maybe the switch with Tooney to left tackle, which they had to do to throw the ball, does that hurt them a little bit running the ball? Like, I just, they don't look to me like the team they were in that regard a year ago.
Now, I agree with that, Jason, but I do think they lost quite a bit moving Tooney from guard to tackle, because I thought the interior three were the best in mm-hmm. football, and how they cut teams up and cut back runs. And, you know, I mean, Trey Smith's going to be a free agent. He's probably going to be the highest paid guard in the history of the game. He's just an enforcer. So they were really good with Creed and Tooney inside. So they lost a little bit, I thought, the way that they just, for 3 straight years in a row, I mean, this trio has basically played every snap. And so, you know, they had to protect the backside, and the passing offense got better. The run offense probably isn't quite the same, but, you know, knowing Andy Reid, he's okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to be a passing team anyways. They've got, you know, all hands on deck right now. Everybody's healthy. You got Nuke, with a couple of months under his belt. Hollywood is back. Xavier is back. So they've got everybody ready to roll right here. And I think Andy's always wanted to come out of the tunnel throwing the football. He's going to probably start that way against Houston.
Pauly, let's go to the NFC, and the Commanders have this wild way of being able to keep games close and win them at the end. Will they be able to keep this game against the Lions close enough to do that again?
Well, it's, you know, this is the best offense they've seen. It's the best offense the league has seen, you know, for 2 years in a row now. So that's going to be a challenge. If they fall behind quickly or early at some point, to try and play catch up with them. But to your point, if they can keep it close somehow, stealing possessions, I think they're going to attack on fourth downs. I think, you know, for most of the game, they're going to be in four down territory. They've been excellent this year, going 20 or 23 in fourth downs. So they're going to try and possess the ball as long as possible and play keep away. That's what I would do. I think that's what Washington will do. But, I mean, if you limit Detroit to eight possessions, they're hard to keep out of the end zone right now. So, but to your point, if you keep this thing close, you get in the fourth quarter. I mean, Jake Daniels has proven that he is not going to fold, that he's not going to make mistakes, that he is not going to go away. Like, he's just going to keep playing, and he's going to give you a chance. It's done it too many times this year to think otherwise.
The other game of the weekend that we haven't hit on, Baldy, is another rematch game. And like that Ravens-Bills game, it was one-way traffic when the Eagles faced the Rams earlier this season, and the Rams had no answers for the Eagles' rushing attack. Any reason to think this one is different this time around?
Well, I mean, the only thing, if I was Sean McVay, I would say, look, if you stay blocked and Saquon has the ball, we're probably going to give up a lot of big runs. So it's a good idea if you don't stay blocked. If A.J. Brown is blocking Cam Curl, get off the block. If Omar Spates is being blocked by, I don't know, Mekhi Becton, get off the block. I mean, they didn't get off blocks on either one of those 70-yard touchdown runs that Saquon had. So, I mean, that'd be the first thing that I would say. I don't know that changing your philosophy about how to play first and 10 should change that much. It's gotten you pretty far here, and it shut down Minnesota on Monday night. So I don't know that they're structurally or personnel-wise can do a lot, but I would say you could get off blocks a lot better than they did back in Week 12.
One other quick one before we let you go, Baldy. You ever seen Adafe Owe have a get-under dip move to bend the edge like he did the other? That was a new one for me with him. If he's got that in his toolkit, now I'm getting a little interested.
I remember doing the game Baltimore at Pittsburgh, Jason, back Week 11, whatever it was, in Pittsburgh. And I'm out there watching Chuck Smith work with Owe on that move. I mean, they must have worked on it. I mean, Van Oy was there. The whole group was there. But they were working. They had their cones out, and they were dropping their hips and grabbing grass and lowering the body. And I know he's just been working on it over and over and over again. And sometimes it takes a while because he's a little stiff.
Stiff, yeah.
A little stiff, you know, for him to pull that off. But I know that Chuck's been working on it, and he keeps telling me that he's got it in his repertoire to do it, and it finally broke through. So I think if you practice anything enough, you can get a lot better at it and better than he had been.
Well, that's great stuff. Baldy, thanks as always, man. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Thanks, brother.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. You bet. Enjoy it.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Coming up next, League at Large. We're going to hear from a couple quarterbacks that are playing this weekend. Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes. They both have Super Bowl rings. We hear from them.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan.
Nothing that I would not normally do, I guess would be the best way to say it. I just kind of continue to work as far as working in the building, working at practice like I usually do. Obviously, the reps are a little bit different, but at the same time, you can get mental reps and you can get physical reps on the side. And so continue to work with those guys that weren't playing in that last Denver game and then preparing your body to go out there and execute in the playoffs.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes talking about how he stayed sharp during the bye week. He's kind of used to this by now. Most years he's gotten a bye, and they've never lost with him at quarterback in the divisional round, Jason.
Yeah. I said it once before, but it bears repeating. Patrick Mahomes is 15-3 in his playoff career, 5,135 passing yards, 41 touchdowns, 9 picks, 524 rushing yards. No quarterback in NFL history has an 18-game stretch of the regular season, let alone the playoffs, any stretch of their career, where they threw for 5,000 yards with over 40 touchdowns and less than 10 picks and ran for 500 yards or more. So that's what he's doing in the playoffs. And, yeah, he's 6-0 in the divisional round, 16 touchdowns, no turnovers. He has 31 passing touchdowns in 12 career home playoff games. I mean, Cincinnati went to Arrowhead and beat him once, but that's really it when it
New
comes
England
to...
New England beat him once, yeah. Was Remember that the offsides?
Was that in Arrowhead?
Yeah, the offsides.
And Tom Brady got him once there, yeah. And that's it. Otherwise, it's him and Big Red walking off the field, plotting their next move. I think Houston can muck this up a little bit. The first meeting, Houston threw the ball 39 times and ran it 17. That's not going to fly. They're going to have to possess the ball more. They're going to have to try to establish Joe Mixon early in this game if they can. And look, they might be a little rusty in the first half after not playing. None of their starters have really played for 3 weeks. Yeah.
More from Patrick Mahomes, and he was asked what stands out to him about the Texans.
Yeah, I think what everybody has kind of known, I mean, that defense is extremely real. They have a great quarterback and a great coach. And we knew when we played in this last time, it was a hard-fought game. And they get after the quarterback really well. They have really good secondary players, and the linebackers fly around. So it'll be a great challenge for us, and we'll have to play our best football.
And as we discussed, these two teams faced each other just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was a nip-and-tuck game until the second half. And then the Chiefs exerted their superiority, as they are wont to do. As I just talked to Baldy about, though, the Chiefs' run game is not necessarily in a great spot. The Chiefs' red zone offense only finished 22nd in the NFL. And despite, you know, winning 15 of their first 16 games, right, they didn't really play the 17th game. It was their backups. They only have a plus 59 point differential for the season. You think about all those wins and just the two losses. And to only have a plus 59 point differential,
that's kind of crazy.
Is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why them being a 9-point favorite feels a little rich to me. I don't know. I'm still waiting to play this game. I'm hoping it goes under enough that I go over. Originally, I wanted to go under. But if this thing gets down to 40 and a half, if it gets under 41, I'm going to go over. But I don't know. It might just stay where it is at 41 and a half. And so maybe I'll sit that out. I don't know.
The early game on Sunday is the Rams at the Eagles. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, before he looks at the Eagles, he was asked about that weird incomplete shuffle pass that would look like a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. Early in the game, that was a key play. He was asked about it.
Yeah, I knew he was there. Obviously, that was the protection. I think we went back and looked, and I couldn't really tell, but it looked like they might have, you know, him and Alaric might have hit and kind of shortened the edge over there. So, you know, 58 did a nice job of getting there pretty quickly. Cooper was open, which sucked. We would have had a nice play. But, yeah, I felt him on my back. I knew Pook was right there. I could see his cleats looking down and just dumped it at his cleats. I was going to be hurt in a bad way if they tried to say that wasn't a shovel pass. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to do and trying to plead my case, and I'm glad that they looked at it and understood that's what I was doing.
One of the weird loopholes is once you go to replay, you can't then say if he was throwing it, it's intentional grounding. Cause, like, you can't throw that flag in through replay. So once you say he did shovel it, it's over from there.
Yeah. Look, these are two of the hottest teams in football. Philadelphia's 13-1 in their last 14. The Rams are 10-3 in their last 13. I think the Rams are the first team in history to start consecutive years 4-6 and make the playoffs.
Yeah. And I think the first team to start 1-4 and win their division.
So they obviously get better as the season goes on. They've won 5 straight games on the road. And look, Matt Stafford, I don't think, has gotten enough credit for what he's done in the postseason with the Rams. And we know he won a Super Bowl. But in general, he's got a 103 passer rating in the postseason with the Rams. He's averaging almost 300 passing yards a game in the playoffs, which is pretty unheard of. And look, I don't think the Rams are winning this game. I do think they certainly have a chance. But the last 3 times that Stafford's played and they've been an underdog, they beat the Bills straight up. That's a Super Bowl caliber team. They beat San Francisco, who were in the Super Bowl last year, straight up. And they beat Minnesota, who was a 1-loss team going in, or a 2-loss team going in, straight up. So, wouldn't be totally out of character to find a way to win this game.
One more from Matthew Stafford, and we talked about it earlier. The Eagles ran all over this team the last time they played. He talks about this matchup.
Yeah, we gotta go prepare. You know, we gotta go prepare. Obviously, played these guys earlier in the season. They gave us all we could handle, so it's gonna be a big challenge for us. We're gonna be at their place. It's a tough place to play. We're gonna have to go handle our business and play a really solid football game and playoff football for the most part, man. You play 2 good teams, go at it, and a lot of times it comes down to something late, and hopefully we can be on the right side of things.
Similar but different as the Ravens-Bills game. Like, if the Bills don't stop Derrick Henry, they probably don't stand a chance. Yep. If the Rams can't stop Saquon Barkley this time, same story.
Absolutely. I mean, the first meeting between these teams, the Eagles had 481 yards, and 314 of them were on the ground. I mean, they averaged 7.1 yards per play. Now, I certainly think the Rams' defense has gotten a lot better since then. And I think both these teams will probably play it pretty conservatively and run the ball a lot. And I think the defenses both might shine. And this probably another home Philadelphia playoff under. Saquon Barkley just absolutely did whatever he wanted in that first meeting.
Inside Access here on a Thursday. Bone is out at 1 Winning Drive. He'll be back around 5 o'clock. But coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast. And we didn't get a chance to hear from some of the players who spoke yesterday. So how about a little Lamar? How about a little Marlon Humphrey? Maybe some Mark Andrews, some Kyle Hamilton. Purple rain next here on The Fan.
Hopefully we have some heaters on the sideline. Bigger jacket, probably. I got to talk to Kaniko to see what he got going on. Equipment guys. They pretty much do a great job, though, so we should be good.
But you don't do gloves under any circumstances?
Nah. Lamar, I tried it in practice. I was horrible. Leave that up to Teddy, two gloves, Teddy Bridgewater. Shout out to Teddy.
That's Lamar Jackson talking about being prepared for the cold weather, and his equipment guys will get him ready with the jacket and the hat and all that stuff on the sidelines. He will not wear a glove in the game. Said he tried it, and he was terrible. I do expect Lamar Jackson to be prepared to play in the cold.
Yeah, Would you, like, he, now he's got me thinking about Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Even though he coached the high school team all year, and he won a state title.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and he's backing up, what, the Lions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, don't, if you had to go out and win a game right now, wouldn't you want Teddy Bridgewater over Josh Johnson?
Well,
I would.
Well, what kind of shape's he in? But yeah, the last time we saw Teddy on a field, though, he wasn't that great. But yeah, he's younger than Josh Johnson. But let's just not put that Kevork out there, and Lamar Jackson stays healthy, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
let Lamar just continue.
But I mean, can you run it back another year with Josh?
No, Johnson? I don't think so. If that's what you're getting at, yeah, I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater.
So, like, would you bring in a young guy, have him here, and you try to work out the deal with Bridgewater, have him study your offense, be here in the spring, and let him go in the summer and coach the team? I don't know.
Is he going back to that, though? I think he wants to play football again. He did that for a year. Let's hear more from Lamar Jackson on his wide receiver, Rashad Bateman.
Man, him just being him, like, we got plenty of film on Bateman just getting open on guys, you know, but the ball wasn't going his way, you know, because it was always out my hands or his pressure or something backside, so he wasn't able to get the ball. But us just watching film and just building chemistry over and over, you know, day in, day out, and him just being the best player he can be, he's just lighting things up, making my job a lot easier, getting open even more. You know, and we got a lot of guys on our offense, man. Tight ends, a lot more receivers, running backs. So it's hard to keep an eye on one guy.
Here's a stat, and Jess Rebeck, front of the show, just wrote a great piece about Bateman in The Athletic. The Ravens are 9-0 when Bateman catches a touchdown this year. That's including the playoffs. He's caught 10 touchdowns, 9-0 when he catches a touchdown.
I'm listening to Lamar talk, and I'm thinking about before the season started and the different things we would have said. Look, he's coming off back-to-back MVPs. Where can he still get better?
Mm-hmm.
What could he still do? Could his decision-making improve a little bit? Yeah, it has. Could he get rid of the ball a little quicker and trust his receivers a little more and cut that thing loose earlier in routes? Yeah, he's done that. Deep ball accuracy. He still overthrows guys sometimes. Nobody's perfect. He's as close as you're going to get to it. But we saw them become a more prolific downfield passing game, not just reliant on Zay Flowers' yak. Like, get on the same page with Rashad Bateman. Check. You know, like, continue to evolve as a horizontal passer. Yeah. Continue to, like, okay, last year you got better against the blitz. Can you beat the big blitz? Can you beat it when they bring six or more? They don't even try it anymore. That's how good he got at that. I mean, it really is, like, you think of the five, six, seven mm-hmm. things you might have put on a checklist for, all right, brother, back to, you know, two MVPs in your first 5 years. How could we take it even higher? What didn't he do?
It's as we like to say, it's master class what he's done.
It is.
And you got a little insight in the Hard Knocks episode from this week. The leadership that he's showing.
That's another area.
Yeah.
Outward leadership on game day, on the sidelines,
yes.
Taking command of some things, being a little more verbal. I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago. Things start going rough in a football game, yeah. And Lamar's sitting at one end of the bench, and there's not a whole lot of people around him.
Correct. Let's hear from Marlon Humphrey. Marlon Humphrey, obviously, first-team All-Pro in the slot. He talks about the quarterback for the Bills, Josh Allen.
He's definitely a competitor. I would say, I mean, we were talking about quarterbacks you hate playing the most based off of who would be, like, closest to Lamar. How is he able to just keep a play going? You know, the play is really never over. You know, when he runs, he is a big dude, you know. He can juke you, but he can run you over and keep running very easily. So just a super tough quarterback to go against. But that's the biggest thing, if I had to put on one thing, is just the play's just never over.
He's got a little prime Ben Roethlisberger in him, too, where you think you got him and then you don't because you fall off of him and then all of a sudden a big play happens.
Well, look, they list him at 237 pounds. I mean, he is big. He is strapping. He does have that Ben build. And he's still at a stage in his career where he's he's always been a more explosive runner than Ben. But I think we forget that, you know, because Ben got to be a little bit of laughing stock at the end.
He was a lot.
Like, the whole Ben package just got to be a lot. But, I mean, early in his career, he could win a game with his legs.
Yeah. More from Marlon Humphrey. Talks about a former opponent, but his current teammate, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, having him is huge. You know, he's upset us in our stadium, and he also just put on a great performance with us. So I know it's no fun taking those hits because he usually brings the hit to you, to the defender. So it's great having him on the team. I think something that I've really been impressed with him, you know, being with him in college, but seeing him, he's always a pretty locked in guy, but seeing the urgency he takes, the approach, just the locked in-ness that I've seen him over these past couple weeks, end of the season. Yeah, man, it seems like he's locked in on a different level, and I think that's really helping keep the poise, keep the team. So I've really been impressed with just how he operates. I mean, he's a pro. He's been that all year, but you know, seems like as we got closer to the postseason, finishing up some of those games and this past game, man, it seems like his poise, his locked in-ness has kind of went to another level.
Couple things stand out when listening to Marlon talk, and he talked about the Titans coming in here in 2019 and upsetting them, and I think about the stiff arm he put on Earl Thomas in that game, and then the Ravens got the benefit of the same stiff arm Saturday night on Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I mean, look, football is a physical sport. The running back position is inherently physical, and then there's guys who can take it to another level beyond that with their size, their strength, their speed, and then also their mentality and their want and seemingly need to initiate contact. And this guy does it on another level than most people from this era. It's a different element, and it is specifically built for the kind of environment that they're going into this weekend, where it's when you pass the ball, it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be at least somewhat windy. It's going to be bitter cold. And the guy, you're facing one of the best quarterbacks of this era on the other sideline. And the best way to neutralize him is to make him watch your 250-pound running back run all over his 220-pound linebackers.
The other thing that stood out was Marlon. Marlon talked about knowing him since college, but there a lot of these guys take care of their bodies, but Derrick Henry's at another level on that, and that's why a guy that's just turned 31 can rush for a .180 in a playoff game.
It's why his yards per carry go up in December, and part of that is, yes, the defenses are starting to get worn out, and the weather is turning, and yes, but he doesn't look 30 on game day. That's for damn sure.
Mark Andrews, and let's go to Cut 34, guys. Cut 34, Mark Andrews talking about the Bills defense.
Yeah, I got so much respect for those guys, and you know they got a couple guys coming back, and so we know the type of players that they are and how hard they play and the type of defense. They're very sound and everything like that. So for us, it's about doing our job and playing as hard as we can.
Reminder, Mark Andrews has still not caught a touchdown pass in a playoff game.
It is pretty crazy. It's got to end sometime.
You would think.
No better time than now.
No day like today. Well, I would quote Rent and say no day like today, but it's Sunday. No day like Sunday. For you musical fans out there, musical buffs, your daughter would have gotten that.
I saw Rent a long time ago. I don't remember.
Yeah.
All I remember is the countdown. 5,000.
So, how many seconds in a year kind of thing? Yeah. But Mark Andrews, obviously getting ready for that defense. Let's go to back to the defensive side of the ball. Kyle Hamilton, what did he take away from that week four game, Cut 43?
Yeah, I think a little bit. Obviously, we're two very different teams than we were whenever that game was. And I think the biggest thing we take away from that is that it can be done. Just got to, you know, replicate that success. And I know Buffalo has sour taste in their mouth about that game, so it's going to be a tough one. But, you know, I think we're prepared for it. We're going to go out there and do what we need to do.
Jason, I think a lot of people have talked about the Bills and what they were missing in that game, but I don't think enough people mention what the Ravens are a much different football team than they were in week four as well.
Well, you had Marcus Williams playing every snap at free safety. You had Kyle Hamilton playing a different position. You had Trent Simpson playing almost every snap at linebacker. You had our Darius Washington playing less snaps than Eddie Jackson. You had Michael Pierce on IR.
Michael Pierce for the second year in a row has impressed and surprised
us.
Yes. Like, we didn't expect this last year. We surely didn't expect this year.
No, but it's been a thing.
Coming up next here on the program, Northern Exposure, and Mike Tomlin had his end-of-season press conference earlier this week. What did he have to say? Well, you're going to hear from him, the coach of the Steelers, next here on The Fan.
You know, I don't know that I've looked at it from that perspective. I'm certainly disappointed that I'm not working to prepare to play this week. And I've certainly felt that in recent years. But stuck is kind of a helpless feeling, and I don't know that I feel helpless.
That is Mike Tomlin earlier this week. He had his end-of-season press conference much sooner than he would have liked. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in the NFL. He also has not won a playoff game since the Obama administration. He was asked if he feels like the franchise is stuck.
Well, they've had six straight playoff defeats, and they've all been pretty lopsided. And while the scoreboard in this one wasn't as drastic as some of their other recent drubbings, 19 first downs allowed to two produced in the first half of a playoff game, 7.5 yards per play for your opposition and 3.5 yards per play for you, 306 net yards for your other team, for the opposition, and 60 for you, 20 minutes and 27 seconds of time of possession for the other team. That's pathetic.
Jason, the scoreboard's the scoreboard, but when Derrick Henry answered the Steelers' touchdown with a touchdown of his own, that game was over.
Game, set, match.
Yes, 28-7. There's 3 minutes left in the third quarter. It's over, except, like, basically, we'll see what the final score looks like, but that game's done.
Yeah, that was not a four-quarter football game, and they have not had a four-quarter playoff game in quite some time.
More from Mike Tomlin speaking. I think it was on Tuesday. He was asked his response to those who say he isn't the right man for the job.
I have no response to that. I understand the nature of what it is that we do, the attention and criticism that comes with it. As a matter of fact, I embrace it, to be quite honest with you. I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do. I don't make excuses for failure. I own it. But I also feel like I'm capable. And so as long as I'm afforded an opportunity to do that, I will continue. But I certainly understand their frustrations, and probably more importantly than that, I share it because that's how I'm wired. And so I'm not a big-time comfort seeker, and particularly in circumstances such as this, I don't view myself as a comfort provider because there's, you know, words are hollow, to be quite honest with you. It's about what we do and less about what we say. And so I've learned to say very little when things are going good, and I've learned to say less when they aren't.
He's the best. I want to ask you this, though, and I'm not even going to argue whether or not he's a great coach, because I do think he's a great coach. Is it possible that sometimes change for change's sake is good, that maybe the message gets a little stale after a while? Is that possible?
It's certainly possible. And there are people who will point to Andy Reid.
Yes.
And he had an amazing run in Philadelphia, didn't get over the top. Since he's left, they got over the top once, and he stayed over the top in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But I think there's many more where, you know, yeah, Tom Landry being shoved out and then it leading to
Jimmy Johnson.
Right. Yeah. And getting there. Okay. But like, was Shula starting to lose his fastball? Yeah. The Miami Dolphins certainly kicked around a whole bunch of coaches for a long time.
Still.
After, like, how did year one post-Belichick go? I get it. Yeah. The last couple years of Belichick, if they had a real GM, maybe it had a fighting chance. Yeah. But letting him stock the coaching staff with all these flunkies and
the roster,
letting him pick all the players, that was a problem. But how long did Robert Kraft stick to the heir apparent? Mm. 1 year.
Yeah.
So sure, I understand that eventually you want a different message, you want a different messenger, but you better have something else lined up. And I'll say this about the Rooney family. They've got a better idea than ever. Now, the decision hasn't always been theirs, right? Coach Cowher walked away at a really young age, but they identified somebody to fill that void and then some. But I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to be telling them, I want to go broadcast or whatever, like Coach Cowher did 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. So I don't think this is getting there.
Could he? And I agree with that. He's not going to be able to go. He's a great talker, but broadcasting I don't think is what he wants right now. Could he eventually tell them, I want a fresh start somewhere else?
He could. Absolutely. And if he got there and he broach that topic, I think they would try to accommodate him. And maybe at some point in time, depending on his contract status, that there is a trade or something like that. There have been people whispering about that for a long time. Maybe they'll eventually be right. But I think you got to be a little careful with that. There's not that many guys who are good enough to last anywhere this long. And it's the same thing I would say. If the Ravens are 0-2 next year, you know the calls we're going to be getting that week.
Yes.
And I would just say, okay, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year and they have a slow start next year, I know what people are going to be saying. But then you better hope you've got your young Mike Tomlin or your young John Harbaugh or, you know, you've identified the next guy. Because you can also find yourself in the abyss.
Let's hear one more from Mike Tomlin. Cut 76. What is the plan for quarterback next year?
You know, obviously, we don't have a quarterback under contract, and so we got some major discussions there. It was a really good experience with the three quarterbacks that were on our roster this year, individually and collectively. We certainly are open to considering those guys, but there's a lot of work ahead of us. And the major work, obviously, starts first and foremost with just understanding what our options are. What the field looks like in terms of free agency, what the draft pool looks like, and then beginning the process in terms of decision making based on, you know, known variables. And so, you know, Omar and I have got a half a day carved out here this week just to begin that component of the discussion.
So, Jason, this is not a great free agency class for quarterbacks. This is also not looking like a great draft class for quarterbacks.
No, and they're not going to be anywhere positioned to get the two who are going to come off the board right away. And then after that, it's a real crapshoot. If Justin Fields is priced out of their league, I would tell them, why don't you trade for Malik Willis?
It's an interesting.
He looked good. I'm sure the Packers would love to keep him.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're willing to give them real value and they feel like they're always developing quarterbacks, and that's something they've been doing since, you know, Ron Wolf was there, and one of his tenets was always draft a quarterback or sign one as a priority free agent. You know, remember Hasselbeck started there even though he never really played there. Brunell started there even though he never really played there. They've been doing that thing forever. I don't know. There's some people who really like Joe Milton.
Yes. Yeah. He looked really good in that last game. Yeah.
Do they want him there to kind of scare Drake May a little bit? Like, I think you got to be creative. Like, I don't think plucking Sam Darnold into there is going to be great. I do think they're going to regret not having seen a little more Fields. And maybe he is still a part of this. But they're in a tough spot. There's not an easy solution.
Coming up next, it's Thursday, time for our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer BetQL's Lucy Bird. She joins us next here on The Fan.